This is the Business Connect, connecting businesses to the people, connecting you to who you need to know. I'm Josh Sullivan. These are the stories, the people. This is our community.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Business Connect. Today, we have Chris Honeycutt with Realm Solutions. He is a good friend of mine, and I can't wait to have him on here today because it's going to be some great advice. So, Chris, why don't you just introduce yourself and tell us about your business and yourself, and just give us a little background.
Hey, guys, I'm Chris Honeycutt with Realm Solutions. And what Realm is a consulting group that offers coaching for both individuals and teams. We also do motivational seminars, leadership workshops. We also do on-site assessments where we can come in as secret shoppers for your business. If you have a brick and mortar business, we can assess kind of your operational logistics and what the customer experience is like. We also dabble in digital marketing. So if you need anybody that can help you with Google SEO keywords, Facebook ads, websites, graphic design, and also video work. We have a very talented individual that works with us on videos. So it's where, again, we try and help businesses and individuals grow what they're doing from the inside out. So we take the leadership training very seriously. We kind of assess where someone is at, and then we give them a growth plan. And from there, that might include things like digital marketing. But what we don't want to see happen is for a business or an individual put themselves out there or put their business out there before they really assess what they do best and if what they offer is anything special, if it's anything good, if it's anything worthy. Basically, the premise is you don't market a bad product, because if you do, you're just throwing money out the window. And so we want to help businesses kind of realize what their opportunities are.
Thank you for going into all that. And, you know, you didn't talk about yourself, but I'll just tell them, you know, he's a Wolfpack fan, but we're not going to hold that against him.
Well,
you know,
I also, I'm a member of the John Maxwell team, and some of our members with Realm are as well. What that just means is that we have certification to train people, to speak publicly, that sort of thing. John Maxwell was kind of the grand poobah of the leadership kind of circles. And so it's where a lot of his resources we're able to take and use them for curriculum for our workshops. I'm actually here in Myrtle Beach. We moved here 2 years ago, my family and I, my wife Heather. We have a son, Nelson, and I like to golf. Me and you need to connect sometime and play some golf, and so we can at least see who can outdrive the other. But it's where, again, we've loved it here at the beach. It's been great.
Thank you for that introduction. All right, so let's go ahead and roll into the main part of the podcast. So this is where I'm going to give a quote, a business or inspirational type quote, and then we do this every week. Don't read it before. I just kind of pick one and then get your genuine reaction to it and kind of your experiences, just kind of get you to tell some stories on that may relate to it, and we'll just talk about it. So today's quote is, yesterday's home runs don't win today's games.
Well, I love that quote, and it kind of speaks to something I've talked about here recently, where John Maxwell says this, that change is inevitable, growth is optional. And so many times that we kind of revert back to what worked for us in the past, whether that's habits, whether that's products, whether that's methods. And this is where, again, we have these default settings where we don't want to ever really change who we are or what we offer. And the thing is that our culture and the world and the market, so to speak, it changes what people desire, what people want. And so it's where, how do we adapt to that? how do we grow to anticipate that? And that's something that I've talked about before on our website and in some workshops we've done is how can a business, how can a team anticipate change? How can it grow to adapt to the changing tastes of whatever market they're in? And this is where, again, we go back to kind of a, I like to use this example of Baskin Robbins. They were famous for the, what was it, 31 flavors, 32 flavors, something like that. And you might fall in love with this one flavor of ice cream. And you walk in one day to the store and you're ready to buy that one flavor. The problem is they stopped carrying it because maybe you were the only one who liked that flavor and was the only one who was buying it recently. And so they cycle out the flavors that are not selling. And so any smart business would do that. They're not going to carry product that is not selling. It's not flying off the shelf. They want something that people will buy. And so we in our mentality have to understand that our preferences, what we like, may not be what everybody else likes. And so we have to be honest with ourselves and assess where we are at in the market.
Yeah, to me, the you know that quote can be taken so many different ways. It can be taken just as literally as soon as yesterday. You know that yesterday you did something great, but you still got to go work at it today. It can be taken that way. It can be taken as yesterday as just in the past in general. You know, You can't just take some business model that somebody did 20 or 30 years ago and expect it to work today. The world is so different than it's ever been, especially now. I mean, you know, of course we know that it's different now, but just as technology evolves, as marketplaces evolve, as the internet gets different and people can learn more on their own, there's so much changing on a daily basis that you can't try to repeat what somebody else has done in the past and just think that's going to work for you. Even in the quote, it doesn't even say that it's the same person hitting the home runs, right? It's just home runs in the past aren't going to win today. So that's the thing to me is really it's that you have to change. Like you said, you know, you can't just sit still and be stagnant and think that it's going to be okay just because you're already a successful business. If you're already a successful business and you're not doing anything to continue to grow, you will fall off and you will become unsuccessful just by sitting there.
Right. It's kind of interesting. You know, both of us live in the Carolina Forest area of Myrtle Beach, and this is a newer area. It's a kind of a suburb of Myrtle Beach, if you will. And this community didn't exist like what, 20 years ago. And so the real estate market in Myrtle Beach, it changed. It went from, being mostly, you know, people are trying to sell condos and townhomes. A lot of them either on the beach or on golf courses. They were building golf courses left and right so they could put townhomes and condos along the sides of the holes and stuff. And so people would retire here, or they just had a timeshare here, or they would come on the weekends. Now the real estate market has shifted so much where they are building single family homes left and right, especially in our area of the beach and Carolina Forest. They're not building apartments and townhomes and condos near as much. The other thing that's changed is golf courses. Unfortunately for me and you, we're golfers. A lot of the golf courses around here are being bought up to develop real estate on. And so that's kind of a shame. But it's, again, the terrain is changing. The demographic of the people that are moving here is changing. And so a lot of people have had to adjust to that.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's everywhere, right? And that's the key is if you just continue to do what you did in the past, like you said, demographics are changing. So here in Myrtle Beach, if you continue to market to tourists only, you're leaving out a giant demographic of people that are moving here now. Or if you only go to retirees, you're going to lose all of the people that live here and work. Then let's think of Raleigh, right? Where NC State's at. Let's think about Raleigh. Now they're pulling in. They've always been a pharmaceutical and a textile industry up there. But now Apple's building there. Google, Epic Games, there's all these tech companies coming there. So if you continue to think that, oh, everybody's a textile, everybody's an agriculture, everybody's farmers, and that's the only thing you try to get into, and that's the only people you try to market to, you're gonna lose out on all this new money and all this new business that's coming to the area. And I think that speaks volumes to what we're talking about. It's the whole, you have to change with the times. You have to pay attention to the trends in your area, in your demographic.
Yeah. And just a personal application here, you know, Realm has been around since 2015, and we had a shift in what we offered and how we marketed ourselves probably about 3 years ago. And that was at the height of our success. We were very successful, but we shifted our focus on who we're reaching and what services we provide. That kind of gets down into another discussion of, you know, simplifying what you're doing. And that's where, again, one thing that I did when we made that shift, made these changes to kind of get with the local market here in Myrtle Beach a little better, that, hey, we had to shift towards the hospitality industry, less towards some other types of businesses, but more towards hospitality, those that serve that. Another one is home builders and all the other vendors that serve home builders. So again, having that mentality of, you know what is hot around here, how can what I provide serve these markets, serve these type of customers? And so that's something that we've had to do even ourselves, even though we saw success serving a whole complete other different client base.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what it is. You've got to see what is out there and then just make the changes that are necessary. I mean, that's exactly what it is. Like I said, you know, home runs, you know, like you said, you were at the height of your success. Well, that's a home run, right? You were hitting home runs, right? Well, you knew that eventually those were going to run out. Those home runs were going to run out if you didn't make that shift. You know, it's like, if you think of it in a sports world, like if, let's see, who my son tell me is in the lead right now. Okay. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Sorry. That's who gives me my sports facts, is my son. And Vladimir Guerrero Jr., if he stopped taking batting practice every day, he probably would not keep hitting home runs. He would still hit a few.
Sure.
But if he never took batting practice and never saw the ball go over the fence, your mindset changes because you don't see it go over the fence. You see yourself, you know, having to hit harder pitches instead of taking batting practice because you're only taking live game tape or game pitches. So if you look at it from that aspect, you know, it would be the same thing. If you're not practicing to succeed, I actually saw, I think it was on TikTok, and this was powerful, powerful, powerful. It was Deion Sanders, and he says, what are we practicing for today? People today don't practice to be the best. They practice to cut the time, to practice for the certain amount of time that they're supposed to practice for, or they look for excuses to even get out of practice, or they're practicing just to practice. He said, every time I went into practice, I practiced to be the best that's ever been. He said, because that way, if I practice to be the best that's ever been, I knew that when I stepped on the field for a game, I was ready to be the best that they've ever seen. And I feel like that is the most powerful statement that's out there right now, because it's true. People don't want to put in the work. They don't want to practice to get to that success level.
Well, most people, and the reality of it is, they don't take the time for preparation. They're not really taking the time to look ahead. They can only see what's in front of them because they might be busy and they might have kids and they might just have this busy life. But the problem is that at some point, you're going to run dry. At some point, the fuel tank will be on empty. And you have to say, you know what, well, how did that happen? It's because you weren't looking ahead. You weren't preparing. You weren't practicing with a purpose. You know, I grew up playing sports as well, just like you did. And so I remember in basketball camp, this stuck out to me probably when I was in seventh grade. And they said, you know what, you could practice for 3 hours outside shooting in your driveway, but The problem is if you're not concentrating on one thing, then that's kind of aimlessly practicing and you're not really going to get any better. So you need to focus on maybe practicing free throws that day or practicing rebounding, you know, kind of bouncing the ball off the backboard, that sort of thing, and getting rebounds. Practicing by having another friend out there with you shooting around and practicing your form that way. So there's a lot of ways you could practice, but you need to practice with purpose. And so for a business owner, what that means is, you know what? Actually run through in your head what the customer experience is like, what the interaction is like with your typical customer, what their needs are, what they're going to come in with. If they walk into your store, if you have a brick and mortar store, what are they coming in to get? What's your biggest seller that week? What is, again, what other people in your line of work, what have they been selling the most of? Just having this awareness of what's going on in whatever field you're in. And that's something where, again, a lot of people aren't taking that time. They're just kind of spinning their wheels and they're fine with that because they're getting a paycheck. They're getting some amount of profits, but the ones that really excel are the ones that are taking the time to prepare.
Yeah. Back to the sports references and saying the practice with a purpose thing, you know, they say that at the height of his career, Tiger Woods would hit 1,000 balls a day. But there's a difference between hitting 1,000 balls a day and having a purpose to that 1,000 balls. He didn't just stand there and hit 1,000 balls. He would hit a few hundred and warm up and then go play nine holes. Whatever he didn't have that on that set of nine holes, he'd go back to the practice range and he'd hit balls and work on whatever his weakness was for that nine holes. He'd hit balls, then he'd go back and play another nine holes, come back, work on whatever wasn't working. So it was always targeted. So yes, he hit 1,000 balls. Most people aren't going to do that, but it's not that he stood there and just beat it into the ground. Because I mean, you know, they say that's the worst thing you could ever do. You know, if you stand there and you're practicing a bad habit, then you're getting worse. Your practice is actually making you worse. Your practice isn't making you better. So that's what, your reference of being out there and practicing by yourself, you know, that's the thing to me is, I guess it comes down to the accountability aspect, right? So sometimes, like you're talking about basketball, looking at your form, you can't look at your own form. So if you're shooting and you're shooting, if it's going in, you're not paying attention to what you're actually doing. If it's not going in, if you're missing, then yes, you might think about what the coaches have told you, keeping your elbow tucked or whatever it may be. And that's really what it is.
Unfortunately, success rewards good form and bad form. If it's kind of like, you know, my boy Philip Rivers, he had that kind of sidearm passing motion. It worked for him though. And obviously, but again, all the NFL quarterback gurus took him to task for it. And somewhere down the line, he was probably just out there practicing by himself, slinging footballs in the backyard.
Yeah. And hey, I mean, like you said, it is what it is. You know, it's sometimes you get rewarded for bad form. I mean, I tell this story, you know, I played college golf. Most people talk about how many hole-in-ones they got. And it's funny because me and the number one golfer on our team, neither one have a hole in one. And we were playing one day with my brother and I don't know if he's ever broken 100 and he tops one on a par three. It rolls down the hill, rolls up the green and hits the pin, almost gets a hole in one. And he's never, never broken 100. He topped it. Right. But it almost went in. And it's like, that's exactly what you're talking about. You don't have to have the best form to be successful sometimes, but it's not repeatable, right? To have the best form is the repeatable aspect. Same thing with business.
Good point.
Right. It's in business. You have to have that preparation so that you can repeat every time. You can't just go in. Let's say you got a presentation and you have no preparation. You just have your mindset of, I've done this 1,000 times. I can do it right. And you just go in there and wing it. Well, let's say that this person is prepared and more prepared than the last person you presented to and starts asking you questions that you've never even looked at. Well, now you lost that sale. You probably are going to ruin your reputation a little bit because you're going to look like a fool.
Yeah. And that's where, again, people just get far too comfortable with themselves. And that's where, let's put it back full circle here. That's what my consulting group, coaching group helps accomplish is with a business, you need another set of eyes and ears, you know, for that other person in practice with you to look at your form and help correct that form. And so a lot of businesses, they don't prioritize having a consultant come in and train their team or take a look at what they're doing. And so thankfully I've had a lot of great clients that do have that awareness, that do have that priority of saying, you know what, it's important for us to do the best that we can and to provide the best that we can. And you only do that by making sure you have someone else verify that what you are doing, what you're providing is the very best. And so I know I've done this for my own purposes, where again, I'm also, as you know, a pastor by day, so to speak. And so had a friend of mine visit our church this past Sunday, and he was a church planter, pastor, and he knows exactly the same things that I would be looking for if I was coming to a church. And so I would ask him for feedback. And so a lot of the things that I already knew about, he reinforced. And a lot of things that I let slip or let kind of pass by because, you know, we just get in the rut of doing things week to week, he reminded me about and he pointed out. And so it's such valuable information and such a valuable practice to get into of, you know what, having someone else in the room and having someone else ask the right questions so that they develop the right processes in you. And therefore you start doing things consistently instead of getting that lucky shot on the par three and saying you've gotten a hole in one because you got lucky. Well, what if you could consistently get it close to the hole? You'd have a higher percentage of getting a hole in one. And so that's where, again, a consulting group like ours can help a business become more consistent, more excellent, because they have someone else in the room with them.
Yeah, you know, that makes me think of my father-in-law and brother-in-law. They're general contractors. And, you know, I could be in a place and not really notice anything like a house. Let's say you're in your house. You don't pay attention to every little detail of your house, every little blemish in the drywall or every little thing. You overlook a lot of things. That can be in your business as well. Because you're doing it day to day, you don't see things. And then an outsider comes in, like I said, like that when they come into my house or when they would go into condos with me or whatever it may be, they're looking and they're saying, oh my gosh, this is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. And that's that outside perspective that you're talking about. And we get in these ruts, like you said, just doing the daily business, we'll get into ruts and not pay attention to what's actually going on around us, to our surroundings, because we're so used to it. Or it's that old adage of, you know, maintenance on something. If it starts to slowly deteriorate, you don't pay attention to it because it's gotten a little bit worse over time and you don't ever really notice that it's getting worse because you see it every day. And so it's just micro changes every day. But if somebody comes in from 6 months ago, it's going to look terrible because it's that change is drastic to them because they remember it one way. They come back and slowly over time, it's gotten worse.
Yeah. And that's where a trained eye really does help. And that's where someone that knows what they're doing, it just comes natural to them to kind of walk into a room and immediately notice where something's unhealthy or where something's out of place. You talk about, you know, people with construction experience, you know, we would have people over at our house, say for a Bible study or something. And I would have the guy that was in the home building industry kind of do the same thing your family did, just kind of take a look around at the walls and at the doors and all that stuff. And, you know, he would start swinging the door in and out and that sort of thing. And at a house that we had in Chapin, nice neighborhood. I thought our house was a pretty nice house. And a friend of mine came in there, was like, oh, these are really cheap doors. I'm like, they probably are, but I mean, what do you want me to do about it now? I mean, I'm not going to change out the doors. But, you know, it's just that sort of thing where having someone that has – the other thing is this. We're not talking about being critical for the sake of being critical. We're not just looking to, you know, show off our expertise. You know, what we have to realize is that business owners do need friends. And the kind of friends that I have are sometimes kind of jerks because they're brutally honest. Yeah, guys like Josh, all right? So it's where the thing is, though, if you're not honest with your friends, who are you going to be honest with? The other thing is, if you're not being honest with your friends, then are you really being a friend? Do you really want them to succeed? Do you really want them to see do well? And there's certainly tactful, graceful ways to go about it. But it's where, you know, I appreciate it when my friends notice something and maybe I didn't catch it, or they notice if I'm slacking off in one area of my life or vice versa, I do the same with them. That's something where, again, a consultant, a coach can come in there and help identify some of these things from a healthy perspective that, you know what, we're not trying to tear you down. We're trying to get you to identify an opportunity.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of the theme for this little section here is, one, practice, you know, preparation, but also accountability while you're doing that. So you can't just blindly prepare for something. You can't just have nobody paying attention to what you're doing. But you also have to have a plan for the future. You can't continue to be stuck in the past. I mean, I think that's that's kind of that adage of, again, just reverting back to old form and not trying to get better. Whereas, you know, the pros, the best in the world, they're constantly wanting to get better. You know, LeBron doesn't say, oh, I'm the greatest basketball player, I'm not going to practice anymore. Like, he still shoots before the game. He might not practice as much as he used to. I don't know. I don't have his schedule in front of me, but, you know, he still shoots around before the game. He still practices with the team. He still has a basketball court at his house and goes around and shoots around. Mm-hmm. You can't just rely on saying, oh, I've done great in the past, I'm going to be great in the future because of the past. You have to continuously prepare, continuously practice, and you have to have that accountability. So whether that's somebody in your business that their sole job as an employee is to make sure that things are top notch and things aren't going downhill, whether that's your accountability, you know, depending on what kind of business you're in, there may be a safety manager, there may be an accountant that's looking at the finances and making sure things are going right, whatever it is, or whether that's yours or bringing in a consultant to take a look at things. You have to have that accountability in order to practice properly so that you can succeed. Wow, English is tough. Succeed in the future.
Yep.
I think those are really the key points to what, you know, we've kind of put out there. We've kind of covered a lot of things, but, you know, that's really the basis of it is you have to have that accountability and you have to be willing to change.
Yeah. And I like how you position yourself. Would you call yourself like a financial advisor? I think you used that in a meeting we had the other day. Is that what you said? Or investment advisor? Is that kind of what you call yourself? So that's where, again, you can accurately assess what is a good investment for this person or not a good investment for this person. While as some other financial advisors out there have basically paid products and certain stocks that they're encouraged to push, whether or not they're truly good investments or not. And that's something where, again, for what you do, Josh, it's, again, that quality of being honest that hopefully people appreciate. People appreciate that, again, you're shooting straight with them, that, you know what, you do have their best interests in mind. And that's something where, you know, if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing the right way, I'm shooting myself in the foot for a future opportunity. Because most of my newer clients, they come from referrals from older clients. I don't want to say past clients, because a lot of these clients are still engaged with our services. So it's where, again, that quality of being honest, it actually builds upon itself. And that's something that most people do appreciate, whether it's kind of a tangible thing or not.
Yeah. And so the whole thing with me is, you know, nobody just the first time I meet them is going to be like, oh yeah, you're awesome. Here's $1 million. Like, that's not going to happen. And I would never expect that to happen because I want them to trust me. I want to build that trust. So whenever I meet people, it's more about giving them and explaining my passion for what I do, explaining that I'm big on education, that I love to get them involved, to give them the knowledge so that they can make the best decision. Right. I'm not selling, you know, I'm not selling a specific thing. I'm selling education, really. I want to educate you, and it's not selling it because it's free, but I want to educate you so that you can make the best decision. And that's how it should be in most businesses, right? Don't rely on this product. You want people to buy from you because they want to buy from you. Because mm-hmm. if it's, I do train people as well in sales. And one of the things I teach them is, hey, listen, make yourself indispensable. So mm-hmm. go in when you meet with a client, you know, yes, you have a specific product that makes you money. Absolutely. I get that. But when you go in, you want them to talk, tell you what they need, whether or not it's something that you need, you can give them and make money on or not. Make yourself to where you have a team of people around you that does everything so that when someone says, oh yeah, da, 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 I need this, you can say, got it. Grab your toolbox, reach in, go get that person. Bring that person to them. Because then when that person does become a client of yours or is looking for the service that you need, they're going to come to you because you are indispensable. They know that you have their best interest at heart at all times. Same thing if you do, like, let's say you write car insurance, right? A lot of people go shop it online because it's a cheap rate. Mm-hmm. Or they switch companies all the time because they a cheaper rate. But if you went in there and you became an indispensable person to them, a member of their team with their best interest at heart, it doesn't matter if somebody comes in with a cheaper rate. They're not getting rid of your policy because of some cheap rate that's out there because they feel like they're paying a premium for you to have access to you. Yeah. Make yourself indispensable by having that best interest at heart at all times.
I agree. That's good. That's good, man. I know for something else, you know, that doesn't get talked about a lot is, you know, from just take it from the mindset of a business owner is that, you know what, I don't need to do what the other person is doing. I need to stand out. I need to be unique. Well, the problem with that is your competitors might be seeing success because they are doing the right things and they're listening to the right people and they're really able to keep their finger on the pulse of what is trending, what people desire the most. So a lot of times we run into this kind of prideful mentality. I don't want to be like my competition. Now, what if Pepsi would have said that to Coke about Coke? We don't want to be like Coke. We want to taste different. We don't want to be a cola. We're going to be some other sort of soda. And it's where, you know what, there's some things worth, I guess you would say, imitating. There's some things that, again, say, take for example, Chick-fil-A's drive-thru. If you're a dad like me, you know to hit up the Chick-fil-A drive-thru before you try and attempt McDonald's or Burger King or any of these others, because the line might be out to the street at Chick-fil-A, but you'll move through in about 5 minutes, 7 minutes tops. I could be the third car in line sometimes at McDonald's here in Carolina Forest. You know which one I'm talking about. I can be the third car in line and it's taking me 15 minutes now because they're short on people, all these, you know, supply chain issues, all that kind of stuff. But Chick-fil-A has the same issues, but they move cars still. And so it's kind of like, you know what, it would be like a business saying, I see what Chick-fil-A is doing. I see their culture. I see all the operational logistics and methods that they employ. But we're not going to do that. We're just going to do our own thing. I'm like, well, maybe you need to learn from them. And that's something that, again, I tell clients all the time, you know, identify in your mind who your competition is. And if they're doing some things well, is that something that's adaptable for your business?
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. You know, I think that's the whole, you know, if you look at that, that's kind of what we were talking about, right? The home runs in the past don't win today's games. Drive-throughs have been the same forever. Two people do it differently, right? Mm-hmm. Cookout was the first person with a double drive-through, and Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
And so some places tried to imitate the double drive-through. You know, most McDonald's have it now, but they don't do it well. Because you still only pay, half the time the one window shut down, so you don't even pay it that window. You know. But Chick-fil-A took it even a step further, and they used to start at one time. It was just during the lunch hour that they had somebody outside, and I can remember it slowly changing at Chick-fil-A to be, you know, they would have somebody take your money outside. You still order at the thing, and then they have somebody take your money outside. Then you got now, you know, it is, especially here in Carolina Forest, they've got 5, 6, 7 people outside. Mm-hmm. They got multiple people taking orders, multiple people taking money. I mean, they're doing everything, and it's all the time. It's not just right before dinner time. It is 20. If they're open, they've got people outside for ordering. And like you said, you know, yes, you want to stand out. And that is a pride thing that you want as a business owner, is to stand out, but you want to stand out for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. I think that's the key, is standing out for the right reasons. But like you said, if you're losing market share, or if you're losing business because somebody else is doing it better, figure out what they're doing. Figure out how to get there. That's that change that we talk about. You know, don't get stuck in your past ways. You have to be adaptable and change into what the market wants now.
Yeah, and that's where it's just interesting, because for me, in my videos that I do every week for Thursday Thoughts, I almost always have a food or beverage-like application to it, because it's really easy, low-hanging fruit. There's a lot of applicable things. And also, I've done a lot of training for Chick-fil-A, for Bojangles, for other fast food establishments and franchises. And so it's very interesting to see how they've adapted over the years to people's tastes and diets and all that, you know. And you can look back at when the low carb diet was trending back in the early 2000s, Atkins and all that, what they would shift towards as far as, you know, how they adapted their menu for that. Or there's all kinds of different things we can talk about from there, but it's just about having that awareness. And so you can get awareness as a business owner by really one of two ways: by you getting off your butt, walking around, driving around, asking questions, maybe putting on a disguise and kind of being, you know, very sneaky about how you gain information and inside perspective. Or you can actually have someone that has already obtained that information or can find that information very easily in the way of a coach or a consultant. And that's where, again, I want to encourage business owners, if they are watching, if they did stick around through all of our sports talk and everything, that they have the desire to learn. And if they're not going to do it themselves, at least they have the ability to call upon someone else that can offer that knowledge to them. And so that's something that is very key, I think, to a successful business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So I guess it's time to move into the next segment. This is just started it last week, you know, but I talk a lot about the savage mindset with people. And to me, the savage mindset, because this goes along with my story and how I got to where I'm at, is when you think of a savage, it's somebody that lives on the outskirts by themselves and does what they want. They take what they want. And so the savage mindset, I think the definition of savage as an adjective is actually someone who lives by uncivilized rules or outside the realm of civilization. And that's kind of what it is, right? You don't play by their rules. You play by your own rules. You make your own things happen. So I just wanted to get your thought on hearing that savage mindset, hearing me say, take what you want. What are your thoughts on applying that to business?
Yeah, that's I love the book concept. We've talked about it before, and it's great, man. We need more of that today because, you know, part of what we're getting at here is that, you know what, everybody has unique gifts, has unique talents, has unique insight a lot of times. And yes, there are, again, formulas that you can look at, again, that are successful. But we also have to take into account that, you know, there are certain things that we were uniquely created for, that we were gifted with. And so a lot of times we don't tap into those things, or we were told from a certain age that, you know, that's not as important or whatever it might be. But, you know, here we are in this day and age where everything's readily accessible. Everything's at your fingertips. Everything's on social media, all that kind of stuff. And yet so much of it is the same. And so much of it is not successful. It's a weird dynamic. A lot of it's the same, but a lot of it's vanilla. A lot of it's just like blah. There's not a lot of compelling content out there, say on TikTok. You'll get some gems every now and then, but a lot of it's just kids dancing to goofy songs and putting, you know, quotes over their face and all that kind of stuff. What we're talking about is, you know, from a business perspective, that, you know what, that we have to have this mindset of, you know what, I'm going to wake up every single day. I'm going to learn. I'm going to have awareness. I'm going to look around me, see what the environment is like, so to speak. Is it a day that I can go out and hunt? Or is it a day I need to stay inside and prepare? And so then it's also about, if you're talking about a savage mindset, are you going to outwork your competition? That's a big thing right there. That, you know what, that we, unfortunately, in this day and age, politically, ideologically, whatever you want to call it, we have a settled mindset. We have a taken care of mindset. It's not a survival instinct anymore. It's not like, hey, work or you don't eat. No, now you can not work and still eat. And that does the human spirit a disservice. And what that is to say is, like, you know what, when we actually put ourselves out there and we get out there and we work hard and we stand out and we learn and we adapt, that's when we start growing. That's when we start seeing success more consistently. It's not just a fluke. And that's where, again, having that savage mindset that you're talking about, Josh, goes such a long way.
Right. You know, for me, it's all about, like I said, taking what you want. I love what you said about, is it a day to hunt or is it a day to prepare? Because, you know, a guy that I had on a few weeks ago, he likes to say that, if you get to the airport and they offer you a 2-hour flight, a 4-hour flight, and a 6-hour flight, but don't tell you the destinations, are you getting on any of those planes? No, of course you're not, because you don't know where you're going. Savage mindset and taking what you want, that's the same thing. You still have to know where you're going. You've got to know the end goal. So there are times that you have to prepare. You prepare, and then when the time is right, that's when you attack. That's when you go get it. And it has to be, but it does have to be planned out. There are going to be days that you're not out just making it happen. You're planning. It's got to be precise. It's a precise action plan on exactly what you're going to do, how you're going to take it. You know, the way I got to where I am now, I planned it out. I said, I'm going to take this step, this step, this step, this step, this step. And that's exactly what I did. I made it happen for myself because I felt like nobody else was going to do it. You know, there was going to be some excuses to why they couldn't hire me or whatever, right? And I made the plan on how to make it so that they could not say no. So that if I came to them, they were going to say yes. And that's exactly what I did. You have to have that plan in place. You have to have that end goal in place and then get there. There's going to be days that you're planning, that you're working on the plan, working on the action steps. But then when you see that opportunity, when that opportunity is there, you have to take advantage of it.
That's good, man. Yeah. Remember those choose your own adventure books?
Yes.
Remember those where you would read them and then you could like turn to page so-and-so if you think you should go through this door, or turn to page so-and-so if you go through this door, that sort of thing. And what we can learn from these books is that, you know what, there are different paths to go by. There's consequences to actions and decisions. But if you start planning out in your head what some of those are, and you start going through, hey, what's the likelihood of success going this route? What's the likelihood of success going that route? What and for a sales tactic, I learned this selling cell phones in the mall in college is, okay, try and shut down someone's excuse before they even say it. You know, if a lot of times in sales, you already have heard all the excuses. I need to talk to my wife first, or I don't have the money, or whatever it might be. You start shutting those things down by giving them basically no excuse not to take action right then and there. And so for a business owner, that's something where you can start planning in your head, trying to shut down any possible doubt, any possible no's. You want their business and you want to give them every opportunity to say yes.
Yeah. I was, as you were saying that, I was trying to think of this story or quote that it is, because I know it's out there. But I can't remember it off the top of my head, but it's basically if you mentally prepare for every outcome, there's no fear. There's no fear because you know that if something happens, you've already mentally prepared yourself for that outcome. You've already gone through all the scenarios. You know what the options are when you get to that impasse. There's no pause. There's no hesitation. And it goes back to practice and preparation, right? It still goes back to that. If you prepare correctly, no matter what happens, you know how to pivot from there.
That's good. That's good, man.
All right. So in closing, let's go ahead and get us the last little bit of advice out of that brain of yours. Every week, I ask if you could give your younger self some advice, you know, dig deep, the best advice you could give your younger self, what would it be?
Wow. That's a really good question. You know, thinking about that, I would have to say that be careful about who you surround yourself with. Okay. And that's a tough pill to swallow, because here's the thing is like, there are certain people in your life that are not good for you, and they may be fine people overall, but it goes back into mindsets and mentality that they're not on the same level as you. They don't have the same goals as you. They're not going to understand sacrifices and habits the way that you might. And so I've had to fight a lot in my life. The people around me are great people, but they don't share the dream that I do. And I didn't surround myself with enough dreamers. I didn't surround myself with enough people that had that savage mindset. And that's where, again, it did me a disservice, because I would get into really essentially laziness. And I started putting a ceiling on myself, on my potential. So it was when I started being around more purpose-filled people, people that had a plan for their life, people that knew what it took to get it, people that weren't going to take no for an answer, people that weren't going to settle for second best. Because again, in this daily life that we have, we come across average all the time, okay? Average food, average education, average entertainment. But the ones that are exceptional, the ones that are excellent, those are the ones we talk about. Those are the ones that people remember. And so it's, again, to stand out in the crowd, sometimes you don't need to be in a crowd. Sometimes you need to just tune out other voices and find maybe one or two voices that can speak some wisdom into your life.
That's good right there. That makes me think of, again, a sports reference, because that's the theme of the day. But what you said would be surround yourself and be cognizant of who you're surrounding yourself with. You know, it's a thing these days for parents to drop their kids back a year so that they can stand out among the younger crowd. So if they'll wait 1 year before they go to high school, so they'll keep in eighth grade for an extra year, so that when they get to high school, they're playing against younger competition, so they stand out. And to me, I'm like, that is the most backwards thing I've ever heard, because in my mindset, you play to your competition's level. I've always been that way. If I play golf with a bunch of hacks, my buddies, right? We're cutting up, joking around. I ain't got a chance of shooting a good round, but I know that going in. But whenever I'm playing with better players, I'm going to play to that level because the focus is there. The mentality is there. But look at the kid from the Little League World Series this year that everybody was talking about, the left-hander that struck out over 100 people in the tournament. They said that he normally plays – he was 12. He normally plays against 14-year-olds. He normally pitches from 60-foot and was only pitching from 44-foot. So he plays up. He doesn't play down. He doesn't say, oh, yeah, let me play against the easy competition. His state came and got him and said, hey, listen, we need you to play Little League with us so that we can go win the Little League World Series. And he's like, okay, whatever, I'll do that. But his AAU team, he's on an AAU team up. He's a level higher. Chris Archer that, you know, I went to high school with, he was the youngest person in our class. He didn't play down. He was 17 years old when he graduated high school, 17 years old when he got drafted. Wow. He played up. He played with higher talent every single time.
Well, again, it goes back to, unfortunately, a symptom of our culture right now is taking the easy way out, taking shortcuts. They call them life hacks, all that kind of stuff. Or, you know, and it's where, again, if you want to be average, if you want to do what everybody else is doing, if you want to just live a comfortable life, so to speak, then by all means, do what everybody else is doing, do the shortcuts, take the easy way out. But if you want to build wealth for generations, if you want to stand out among your competition, if you want to be the very best at something, you have to not do what everybody else is doing as far as preparation goes. You need to do more. You need to, again, outwork them, so to speak, and do it smarter. So I think that kind of hits upon everything we talked about today.
Absolutely. I really appreciate you coming on, Chris. You know, you're a wealth of knowledge and always an inspiration to talk to.
Thanks, man.
Get very fired up after conversations with you. So I'll post your contact information and your page down with the description so that people can check you out, because those Thursday thoughts, they'll make you hungry, but, you know, they're always great.
Well, it's like a drug dealer, man. You give them a taste. The first taste is free, man. but I would encourage people to check out our website, www.realm.llc. And it's not just me. Thankfully, it's not just Chris Honeycutt. We have a whole team of people that can help. And not just the Myrtle Beach market, but markets all across the Southeast.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on here. And thanks, guys, for tuning in for another episode of the Business Connect. I'm Josh Sullivan. We'll see you next time. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.